We are the body of Christ. Tell me, how can we have true, tangible, living, dynamic harmony and unity if we are not thinking as one man?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day and welcome. Let's get right into Pastor's Bible study today and join him as his series from the New Testament epistle of Philippians continues with a message titled, The Mind of Christ.
Is a tremendous study, loved one. And we're going to be studying this morning from verses 1 through 11 in chapter 2. Normally, I don't cover that many verses on a Sunday, but they just go together. Remember when we left off, we're pilgrims and sojourners. This is not our home, amen? We're going to be talking about the unity of the mind of Christ and the mind of Christ that we have this morning. You know, we live in a world. The world doesn't necessarily, they don't want the Word of God, they don't know the Word of God, but we do, amen? Did you know that we know what's going to happen in this world because we have the Word of God, amen? Think about it. God has shared part of His mind and part of the mind of Christ with us in His Holy Scripture. We know that the devil is real, but we also know because we have the mind of Christ that the devil is defeated, amen? We know that our sins, if we truly have the mind of Christ, we know that our sins have been paid for. They don't need to come up and torment us, amen? They don't need to flood us with guilt and shame because they are as far as the east is from the west. That's what the mind of Christ does. And so this morning as we look at all this, remember we left off in verse 20, or began last Sunday in verse 27, where we are commanded to behave as citizens, as resident aliens, if you will, in a post-Christian culture. And, you know, God didn't save us or has not saved us to live below our calling in Him. Amen? No, we're not citizens of this world because this world has no unity. Now, it may look like it has unity, but if the world has any unity at all, it's a false unity or it's a forced unity because the carnal mind cannot produce anything but carnal unity. Does that make sense? There's no way around it. So only two people on earth, those that are being conformed to this world, squeezed into its mold, and those who are not conformed to this world, and we're renewing our minds and being transformed by that. Amen? So that's who we are. The mind of Christ, as we get into our sermon now, listen, the mind of Christ is the source of all unity and all harmony among believers. We have 1 Corinthians 2:16, for we have, present tense, we have the mind of Christ. Is that an incredible statement? We have the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of what? A sound mind. What does the word sound mean? It means a healthy mind. To have the mind of Christ, loved one, is to have a healthy mind. Listen, any time that you feel or you in your mind or you even think a thought like God doesn't love me, that's not the mind of Christ. Does that make sense? God loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die upon the cross for you and for me. Amen? So with all that being said, before us, talking about our unity through humility, talking about the mind of Christ, before us are four ifs, I-F-S, four ifs. Now listen very carefully. Those ifs are not conditional. In other words, if you do this, then you can have this. That is not what that Greek word, the if, in the Greek implies at all. It implies a fulfilled condition. You'd really translate the word if as a sense or as a matter of fact or because they are facts. So with all that being said, let's look at these facts before we get into the mind of Christ this morning, beginning in verse 1. Paul the Apostle, he writes to us and he says, Therefore, remember, you always go back and find out what it's there for, and that goes back to verses 27 through 30 from last week. So as we behave like citizens of heaven, therefore, and there's the first if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. What in the world is Paul talking about? Do we have comfort, encouragement from Christ? So we would use the word, since we have encouragement from Christ. Listen, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the greatest encourager and strengthener and standby and helper in the universe. Amen? And he lives in us. He says, so since there is comfort or encouragement in Christ, and since there is comfort of love, in other words, the God of all comfort lives in us. Thank God for that. His love lives in us as well. And if since there's fellowship or intimacy or koinonia, partnership of the Holy Spirit, that intimacy. And then he says, if any affection and mercy. In other words, since we are now new creations in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new, we are now inhabited with the divine nature of the living God. Amen? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul, writing from prison, he says, since all of these things are yours, since these things are all facts, look at the next verse, Paul says, fulfill my what? In other words, let my joy spill over to the very, very top of the glass, if you will. How? By being like-minded, having same love, one accord, one mind. So Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. That word simply means this, that every believer that is born again, we have the incredible opportunity of all of us to get our mind right and think the same way and the same thing. Does that make sense? That is, loved one, that is the mind of Christ. Today, we all know what today is. What's happening this afternoon? This, never a clue. It's the way it is in the first service. Never a clue. They get it. I don't know what that means. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, loved one. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that every player, are they getting their minds right now? Are they going to take the field and are they going to have one mindset? Boy, you better believe it. Listen, loved one, they're going to take that field as one team, as one man, with one purpose, and each person, each part is going to do its share. That's kind of like the body of Christ, isn't it? In other words, listen, how much more the church? Man, if we had that kind of mindset, we should have that kind of mindset. Think what we can do when we think like Jesus. Do what Jesus says. Obey the Word of God to get our minds right. You know, dear Lord, that's so important today. Because, you know, where does the devil, what does he attack? He attacks our minds. That's why we have to cast down all those imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the Word of God. We have to get it out of our mind or we're not going to think right, loved one. It's impossible to do so. Now, so here's the deal. We are the body of Christ. Tell me, how can we have true, tangible, living, dynamic harmony and unity if we are not thinking as one man? Or, what's the next one? Or if we don't have the same love, that love that God has already given unto us, Romans 5:5, has been shed abroad in our hearts. That word is agape. That's the word, the new commandment that Jesus gave to us in John 13:34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you. By this the whole world know you're my disciples. Amen? Listen, that's the love that we all have. And then it says, one accord. One accord, that means having the same purpose. And then it says, of one mind. Again, thinking one thing. If we would obey these scriptures, where we have one mind, one purpose, one love. And if we don't do that, loved one, is there really true unity? It's just an idea, isn't it? It's just like, well, it's a theory, if you will, because it's not practice. In other words, mental agreement, I can agree with the scripture, but I have to do the scripture. Does that make sense? It has to come from my heart. You have to desire that unity and harmony more than anything else. Now look here, the four ifs are gone. Now let's look at the four lets. It says in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. You know what the word nothing means? It means nothing. That means that selfish ambition, which means I want my own way, I'm going to get to the top, and I'm going to get to the top any way I can. It doesn't matter who I hurt or how I hurt them. It just doesn't matter. That's selfish ambition. And conceit is from two words, empty and glory. It's where, you know, you want the glory. Well, it's empty, the Bible says. The only person that gets the glory is the Lord. Amen? So selfish ambition has absolutely no place. Paul says, let each one, every person, every believer, he says, but in lowliness of mind, here's the next let each believer, each esteem others better or literally more important than self. You know, lowliness of mind is not a bad thing. You know what lowliness of mind really is? It's having a true estimate of oneself and one worth, if you will. In other words, the Bible is very clear. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Boy, but with Jesus, you can do what? Everything. You see, that's what this means, lowliness of mind, because it's what our Lord had. A lowliness of mind. He says, I am lowly. He says, come and learn of me. Remember, I am lowly in heart. Oh, listen. And I look at that and I say, Lord, that's exactly what I want. Lowliness of mind is when you empty yourself of yourself. You know, the old man is corrupt. Amen? The old man cannot help you. The old man will lead you astray every time. Lowliness of mind, loved one, here is when you empty yourself of yourself. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20? He said, I have been, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, he said, I died. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? And that's what he's saying. So that's what that lowliness of mind is. So we are to esteem others better. That doesn't mean that we're not equal and stuff like that. It just means that's what Jesus would do. You'd look out upon others, and we're not self-centered, we're others-centered now. If we see our brother and sister hurting, don't you immediately want to do something? Let me ask you another question. If you're at Kroger or Albertsons or, is it Aldi? Whatever it is. If you're at the, and you see someone that's hurting, and you're a believer, doesn't your heart do something? I mean, you don't go, well, it serves you right. Surely you don't say that. No, your heart is hurting. Because why? Jesus lives there. And that's what it means to think about others, be other-centered, not self-centered. It's when your eyes catch that head that's bowed, you want to lift it up. When you see a tear in someone's eye, you want to go find out why, to take it away. Amen? That's what that's about. And look at verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That doesn't mean to be a busybody. Doesn't mean to stick your nose in other people's business. That's not what it means. The word lookout, we get our word scope. Also the word episkopos, which we get our word elder or overseer or pastor. In other words, where we put the microscope up and we look out and say, oh, well, I see that person. They need help or whatever. We need to look out for one another. I'll tell you, because no one else is going to look out for us. Is the world going to look out for you? And if your company, if it's not really biblically based, is it going to look out for you? No, only the Lord will look out for us, and we should do the same. Now, Paul tells us how we're going to do all that. And he does so by penning the most incredible passages that, I mean, I cannot even begin to tell you how many books have been written about these passages I'm about to read to you. Loved one, listen, these are the greatest passages in all of the Bible on the deity and the humanity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine pinning those verses. I can't even imagine pinning those verses like Paul did in prison, chained to a guard, and understanding those verses. Does that make sense? These are verses that you need to ponder. Every word is important, especially in the Greek. Every word has a meaning. And these verses need to be slowly, slowly digested, not only one time, but over and over and over again. Paul, in these verses, verse 5 through 8, he gives us the absolute perfect example of humility. And not only that, the perfect example, of course, is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And what I want you to study later on, I want you to study from verse 5 down all the way to verse 11, and you'll notice in verses 5, or really 6 through 8, that God's favorite number is in place, and you'll see that there are seven steps from heaven all the way down to earth in the Christ humiliation, if you will. And then in verses 9 through 11, you see seven steps upward that leads him back to heaven. So these passages are very, very interesting. And let's begin with one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. It says in verse 5, "Let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, loved one, listen. In the Greek, that is a present imperative, which means this is not an option, this is not a suggestion, this is a command to every believer to have the mind of Christ. It is our possession, if you will. Let me give you another version. It says in the NIV, "Your attitude should be the same." Everyone say the same. The same. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Here's another translation. "In your lives, you must think and you must act like Christ Jesus." The Amplified version, a very good one, by the way. "Let this same attitude, let this same purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility." All godly practice begins right there. The only way for you to get the mind of Christ into your mind is how? You have to renew your mind to the Word of God. Amen? See, if you're not renewing your mind every day being in the Word of God, renewing your mind, you know what? After a while, you forget the Word, don't you? Yes. Boy, we need to renew our mind every day. And again, this is not an option to the church. This is a command to the church. We are told right here in that verse that we are to act, we are to react, and we are to think like one person and only one person in all of the world, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not do this verse, if we don't obey it, I promise you, the church will live below the calling that God has called us to. What would happen if, really and truly, think about this, what would happen for the next, let's just say the next 3 days, okay? The next 3 days that every person, every believer in this chapel, those in the cafe, those in the main lobby, those that are listening live, right now, if every believer for the next 3 days said in their heart and in their mind, for the next 3 days, I am going to obey this scripture with all my heart. I am going to put into practice the attitude in everything I face with the mind of Christ. Now listen, you're still married to the same guy. Okay? You're still married to the same woman. You still have the same mother-in-law that you love dearly. Come on, come on. You understand? You still have that job and the boss that you love and worship. You still have those same teenagers. Do you understand? And you still have all the problems of life. But if you have that attitude in you, and if you do and you think and you react like Jesus, what in the world would happen? Think about that. See, that's a command, loved one. It's not just, well, I want to do it. No, no, no. We're commanded to do it, and God's commandments are always our, what? Enablements. God would never tell us, command us to do something, and then say, well, I commanded you, but you're not really able to do it. That's not true, loved one. We have His strength, we have His Word, we have the Holy Spirit, and we are under grace. Amen? We have everything we need. I want to think like Jesus. Listen, you drive 820, you have to think like Jesus. You understand? Even this morning, I mean, there's not anybody on the road. I mean, just my wife and I driving. I'm in a slow lane. As God is my witness, I had two people pass me, and they were going over 100 miles an hour. And one of them came right up on me. I'm going, I don't have any place to go. I can't go any further. Do you want me to get on the grass? You know? I mean, it's crazy. You know what I think it is? I think it's the people from California that are moving here. No, I don't mean that badly. See, have you ever been on the freeways in California? It takes you 3 hours to go a mile. They get out of here, text, and go, look at all this open space. I've never driven my car over 20 miles an hour ever. They get on the freeway, wah. That's what's going on. Yeah. I love you. If you're from, I know that all of you are from California, so. If that could just for once be, if we take it and embrace it and put it into our heart, and we, you know what, I'm going to think like Jesus. That person just treated me, but I'm going to have the same attitude. See, that's what it's all about. The Bible tells us, loved one, in 1 John 2:6, he who says, you say it with your mouth, he who says that he abides in him, meaning Jesus, abides, lives in, draws strength from, it says, should walk even as he walked. That means wherever Jesus went, did he love people? Yeah, God is love. He loved people. He cared for people. He fed the thousands. He healed the leper. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. Do you follow me? Wherever he went, he gave hope and encouragement and love to people. And that's what we are called to do. But we cannot do that without obeying the command to have the same attitude as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the mind of Christ is our perfect example of humility, our perfect example of sacrificial love, and our perfect example of obedience. So, let's look at our descent now. Let this mind be in you, the command, which is also in Christ Jesus. Here comes verse 6. Who being in the what? Okay, who being in the form of God. What does that mean? Don't start thinking now in your mind you're looking for a shape. That's not what that word form means. The word form here expresses God's nature, okay? It says, who being in the form of God. Who being? This is pre-Bethlehem. This is before the Lord left heaven, okay? In other words, what Jesus was before he took human flesh. What was Jesus before he took human flesh? God. Amen. They're still not getting it. No, I love you. No, Jesus is God. Listen, Jesus has always existed as God. Before Abraham, I was. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is forever. He will exist forever. Why? He is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So that word form, morphe in the Greek, expresses an inward nature that can never be altered, and that can never, ever be changed, meaning Jesus is God. In the Greek, it would be morphe, theos, or theos. In other words, he is God. That's who our Lord is. So from his exalted position, he's stepping out of eternity into time, and then look at the first step downward about his thinking, the Lord's thinking. He says, he did not consider it what? Robbery to be equal with God. Let me give you another translation. He did not consider it a treasure. He's equal with God. He is God. But he did not consider it a treasure to be clutched or held onto at all cost. Think about that for a minute. Here is God. He's coming to this crummy, stinking planet full of sin and trouble and all of those things, loved one. And why did he not think it was robbery? Because Jesus is God, and Jesus will always be God. You cannot take that away from him. Do you understand? He doesn't have to cling to what he is. He has nothing to lose. Amen? John 14:9, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians 1:3, I think it is 1:3, I could be wrong, but it says that he is the image of the living God. In verse 17 of Colossians 1, that by him all things consist. He holds everything together. Jesus is our Lord. The mind of Christ is our example. Now listen, he didn't think it robbery. Okay, here I'm God, I'm coming down here. You know what? He didn't think of himself. He thought of you.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we do hope you'll tune in again. Thanks everyone for listening today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.